From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, November 27th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started this day before Thanksgiving with...
The Daily Denogram.
Yep. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, it is a poor workman who blames his tools. Oh, yeah. In fact, he's a bit of a tool himself.
Would you please not do anything awful for 5 seconds?
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
I'll bet.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
Is that so?
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. Sure, you just keep telling them then. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1901, the U.S. Army War College was established. Now, if you're accepted, you can earn a degree in starting wars. If you're really good at it, you can start wars that go on for, 20, 30 years, or maybe even more. And it was on this day in 1971, the Soviet space program's Mars 2 orbiter released a descent module. Further, I thought it said decent module. No, a descent module. And it malfunctioned and crashed. But it's the first man-made object to reach the surface of Mars. At least that we know of.
I claim this planet in the name of Mars.
I really am enjoying watching the Democrats and the leftists scratching their heads trying to figure out what went wrong. A lot of them still don't get it. Now, if I were to summarize the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, as they now refer to it, it's pretty simple, really. Don't be peeing on my shoes and trying to convince me that it's raining. Every single press conference from the White House with Karine Jean-Pierre and before her, Raggedy Ann, Jen Psaki, every one of those press conferences was an insult to the intelligence of truly educated and updated American voter, American worker, American citizen. The borders are wide open. Oh, this is good for us. The economy's crashing. Oh, but the economy's great. The economy is really roaring back, which, of course, was all BS. So, yeah. 4 years of them just peeing on my shoes and trying to convince me that it's raining. And, I mean, I'm not the only one. I bet you felt the same way. Millions upon millions of Americans felt the same way. Well, those chickens have come home to roost. Wait a minute. Did chickens roost or did just roosters roost? I guess roosters roost and chickens chick. I'm not sure. I've never been a chicken farmer. Although I do have some in my neighborhood here. I'll have to ask them. Anyhow, this has been just a real eye-opener, and it's been very relieving to see the result of this election. One thing I would like to find out is how many first-time voters showed up to vote, and of those, who voted for whom? You know, how many voted for Trump? How many voted for Harris? Among first-time voters. That'd be interesting to find out. Okay, well, subject at hand here, CNN. I want you to understand this clip that you're about to hear is coming from CNN. You've been hearing about this guy, Harry Enten. Harry Enten is the guy with the little electronic video board behind him when he's on camera. And he's got all of these percentages and these breakdowns and these charts and these graphs. He's pretty interesting. He's a very geeky guy. Just the kind of a guy you would trust to come up with information that you could believe in, all right? So, anyhow, he broke down the major surge in popularity toward Donald Trump compared to 2016, and he came up with some interesting numbers. Now, listen to this whole clip, because toward the end of the clip, he brings up a very interesting point about where the Democrats are right now, I guess when it comes to morale or just their their overall mindset, assuming that they have one, of course.
Take a look here. President Trump's transition net approval. You go back to November of 2016. Look at this. He was just at plus 1 point. Just at plus 1 point. That was well below the historical norm. Look at where we are today. Significantly higher, plus 18 points. That's 17 points higher on the presidential transition net approval rating. The bottom line is this. If 8 years ago Americans were lukewarm on Donald Trump, at this particular point, they're giving him much more the benefit of the doubt. A lot more Americans are in love with this transition. This much more meets the historical norms where normally presidents get that boost coming out of their victory. And what we're seeing here is Donald Trump's presidential transition is getting a thumbs up and, dare I say, two thumbs up from the American people.
And, you know, we're still in the appointment phase at this point, but it does give insight to sort of where this team is thinking to lead some of these key departments, of course. I mean, but how do people feel about the prospects of his presidency, given the context of some of these picks?
Yeah, it's not just that they like what Donald Trump is doing right now. They're optimistic for the future. So, again, let's compare ourselves now versus where we were 8 years ago. And what you see 8 years ago, 53% of Americans were scared or concerned, the majority towards the upcoming Trump term. Look at where we are now. The shoe is on the other foot. 53% of Americans are excited or optimistic. It's flip-flop, where a majority, a narrow majority 8 years ago, were scared or concerned about the upcoming Trump term. Now what we see is that the majority is excited or optimistic about the Trump term. So what we're just seeing is very different numbers from where we were 8 years ago. 8 years ago, folks really were not that in love with the Trump transition. Now they are, and more than that, looking forward to the upcoming Trump term. For 8 years ago, the majority were scared or concerned. Now the majority are excited or optimistic.
And look, I mean, the reality is for these cabinet picks, they've got to get confirmed by the Senate here. And so I think, rightfully so, a lot of concern has gone into, okay, where will Republicans fall in supporting these picks, since they are the majority? But Democrats were also very opposed to Trump's picks and his presidency overall in 2017 coming in. Where are they now?
I think one word to describe Democrats now, it's just they're exhausted. They're tired. You know, it's very hard being in the opposition. Donald Trump wears out his opponents, and I think they've done that here. So Democrats, Trump's win motivates me in what way to do things? Just 44% say to oppose Donald Trump. The majority, the 56%, either 46%, it doesn't motivate me at all, which I think is really the exhaustion pick, right? This is the plurality. Or 10% say it actually motivates them to support Donald Trump. Together, these numbers get 56%, far higher than the 44% who say oppose Donald Trump. The bottom line is this. Republicans very motivated by Donald Trump's win. And compared to 8 years ago, Democrats just really, really tired. They have just given up. We'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, Trump gets sworn in. November 2024. I think a lot of people are exhausted after the election.
I think a lot of people are exhausted, but this is really a very different picture from 8 years ago. The American folks are much more behind Donald Trump than they were back in November of 2016. And Democrats, who are so rich in their opposition to Donald Trump 8 years ago, at this particular point, they're just like, I'm going to take a step back.
He better hope that that's what they're doing, assuming that this guy Enten is a Democrat or a left-leaning journalist or analyst or pundit. But I don't know. The way I'm reading this, I read it more as a case of, they're exhausted. The Democrats are exhausted, but they still don't get it. They think they can come in and destroy the country, destroy the economy, destroy our morale, destroy our relations with other nations around the world. They think they can inch us up to the actual threshold of World War III and then turn around and re-elect them? These people are insane. If you heard yesterday's exciting, bombastic blogcast, you recall that I went on a rather lengthy rant about the COVID-19 plandemic and what a fraud that it was. Well, when I produced that program, I had no idea this was coming out because this came out on Monday. Are you familiar with James O'Keefe? You remember him? He's the guy who's really terrific at doing some undercover journalist work, real journalist work, and undercovering frauds of all kinds. Well, this time around, he uncovered the National Institutes of Health. And he released their first undercover video in its NIH tapes series. Now, the name of the organization, O'Keefe Media Group, is abbreviated to OMG. So as I refer to OMG, that's who we're talking about. James O'Keefe and his, I don't know how big an organization it is. I just know how good it is. Okay, and that's good enough for me. But Gateway Pundit had a report that came out on, I guess, Monday, or was that maybe yesterday? Anyhow, says here, O'Keefe Media Group on Monday released its first undercover video in its NIH tapes series. In OMG's first video release, Raja Cholan, chief of Health Data Standards Branch, U.S. National Library of Medicine, said the COVID health initiatives were completely made up. Wow. Okay. I hope you're sitting down. I'm going to ask you to do a little of your own work on the internet. But this is really interesting the way they reported it. Raja Cholan said to the OMG undercover journalist, who was not James O'Keefe, was one of his people. This guy, Raja Cholan, says, I probably shouldn't be saying this out loud. They might have funded a lab in Wuhan, China, and Pfizer and Moderna are getting a bunch of money from all these vaccine mandates. Now, let's be honest, you and I already kind of suspected that back then, didn't we? We knew that it was all about the Benjamins. And he continued, he said, I don't even know if these vaccines stop you from getting COVID. They don't. We're all going to learn about the dangers of the COVID vaccine when it's too late. Gee, we did, didn't we? So then he said the 6 feet of social distancing rule wasn't based on any real evidence that it did anything. It was completely made up. The NIH chief told OMG that Trump's victory is worse for the NIH. It would be better for a Democrat to be in office, he said. We fly under the radar of really being scrutinized. I don't think I have too much to worry about. That's not recording, right? He said to the undercover journalist. So, yes, it was recording, and you're going to lose your job. Anyhow, the National Institutes of Health earlier this year finally admitted to funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which was the ground zero for the origination of the COVID-19 plandemic. Again, at the risk of a little redundancy here, I'm going to repeat something I said in yesterday's podcast, and that was that this was presumably, all right, theoretically speaking, this whole pandemic was put in place and put in motion by the Chinese, at least the Chinese government, the CCP, in retribution for the trade deal that Donald Trump worked out with them. So you understand here what's happening. This admission directly contradicts previous statements made under oath by Dr. Anthony Fauci, who on yesterday's podcast I said belongs in jail. Because he was at the time director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the NIAID, or as I used to refer to them, NIAID. We were lied to, and we knew we were being lied to. Consequently, millions of people died. Now, that's bad enough on its own. But now let's get into what happened. When it came to doctors and nurses speaking out against the way the NIH was handling this thing, that was just an abomination. You had doctors and nurses who were being fired. They were being publicly tarred and feathered verbally through social media. They were being discredited. I mean, I can see gazillions of lawsuits now being filed over this. And I appreciate the honesty of this guy, Mr. Chola, what's his name? Let me get back there and find his name. Raja Cholan. I appreciate his honesty, but he didn't know that he was being recorded. Would he have been this honest? Otherwise, no, of course not. But when I think of all the times that it was suggested that a cocktail of hydroxychloroquine and Zithromax, you know, the Z-Pak. You would pair the Z-Pak with hydroxychloroquine, and it made a cocktail that was very effective at treating people who were deathly ill with COVID-19. And they were being denied these treatments to soothe Anthony Fauci's ego. If it didn't come from the mouth of Anthony Fauci, then it was no good. You understand this? It was Anthony Fauci's idea, then it was good. And Fauci had this stupid drug called Remdesivir that he had invested a bunch of money in. And he was going to make himself rich off of Remdesivir, which did absolutely nothing to help COVID patients. And then, of course, we found out that the horse medicine also worked very well, and you know, which was ivermectin, right? And actually, I had a friend who owns horses, and she ended up getting COVID. And she took some of that ivermectin. And within just a couple of days, was feeling a lot better again. She consulted her doctor, said, look, I've got all this ivermectin out there in the barn. What happens if I take this? And he said, well, be very careful about the dosage. And then he gave her some recommendations. She followed it. She ended up beating the COVID-19. But, you know, it's not just the fact that we were lied to. It's one thing for them to lie to you because, you know, you're intelligent enough. We on the right, we believe in facts and we know how to find our own facts. But when the government is in a position of telling you how to live your life, telling you that you have to wear a mask, telling you that you can't have ivermectin, or telling you that you can't have the hydroxychloroquine and the Zithromax, telling you this because they want, I don't know, this is just a theory on my part, maybe they really wanted to kill off part of our population so they could let in more illegals across the southern border. Maybe that was the plan. No, that's just too insane. Or is it? So it's not just the fact that we were lied to, it was the total manipulation of our media, the total manipulation of our social media, the quashing of our First Amendment rights, and the losses of jobs on the part of people who knew better and spoke out in opposition. I mean, this is the closest thing I've ever seen to dictatorial leadership from our government. And in all fairness, yes, this started under Donald Trump. Donald Trump was blindsided by this. You could tell. The poor guy actually acquiesced to Anthony Fauci. Of course, that'll never happen again. And if there is a God, Anthony Fauci will be prosecuted. He will be tried. He will be thrown in jail. And he will be made to take his entire fortune and pay people back for the damage he did. Anthony Fauci is a criminal. He's as corrupt a person as God ever created. I have nothing nice to say about that egomaniac, Anthony Fauci. The man should be in jail for the rest of his life. And the conditions under which he lives in jail shouldn't be too good either. I don't know if you recall, some time ago, I introduced you to Robbie Starbuck, who is a conservative activist, and he's a good one. This guy's not really a squeaky wheel. This guy has receipts in just about everything that he pursues. And it's really interesting now because these days, in addition to rolling back prices, Walmart is rolling back its DEI policies. And you can thank Robbie Starbuck. Now, they were basically told, you shall not pass when it came to the DEI inclusion policy that they had instituted there. And might want to throw in also, it's a very anti-white policy, DEI. You go anywhere, university campuses, the corporate area, the retail area, anywhere they have DEI, it's very anti-white. And DEI was really concocted by a group of extreme leftists who were trying to punish white people for something white people had nothing to do with, because none of us were alive back in the day when we had slavery in this country. Heck, there's barely any of us alive anymore who were present when you had the segregation in the Deep South. And I'll come to the defense of the Deep South. When it came to changing those social attitudes, the Deep South acted on it a lot faster than anybody else in the country. I can pretty well guarantee you that. You know, there are a few exceptions, but man, what a change. Because I was living in the Deep South at the time that change came about, or right after the change started. It was incredible. So Walmart now is responding to growing pressure from conservative activists, with Robbie Starbuck leading the way. I like him. He's really good at what he does. So now Walmart is going to monitor for products like chest binders aimed at minors. And they're also going to review its support of Pride events to avoid backing sexualized content for children. Kind of a no-brainer there, right? And they're going to stop factoring race and gender when it comes to who to hire, who to fire, who to give raises to. And just in time for Christmas shopping. How about that? I don't know. I didn't realize that there's any kind of a possibility of a boycott against Walmart, but I guess that could happen. Excuse me. It seemed to work for Target, didn't it? So far, Robbie Starbuck has helped expose several companies that embrace DEI policies and got them turned around. Tractor Supply, John Deere, Harley Davidson, Polaris, Indian Motorcycle, Lowe's, Ford, Coors, Stanley Black & Decker, Jack Daniels, DeWalt Tools. Oh, you thought I was done, didn't you? No, no. Craftsman, Caterpillar, Boeing, Toyota. That's a mighty impressive track record. Now, Walmart, which is the world's largest retailer, is rolling back its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, joining that list of major corporations. So the company confirmed on Monday to the Associated Press that it'll better monitor its third-party marketplace items to make sure they don't feature sexual and transgender products aimed at minors. That would include chest binders intended for youngsters who are going through a gender change. And Walmart's also going to be reviewing grants to Pride events to make sure that it's not financially supporting sexualized content targeting kids. For example, the company wants to make sure that a family pavilion is not next to a drag show at a Pride event. So Walmart's also going to no longer consider race and gender as a way to increase diversity when it offers supplier contracts. Company said it didn't have quotas, and it's not going to do so going forward. They're going to stop collecting demographic data when determining financing eligibility for those grants, too. So in other words, what Walmart is doing here is they are going to revert to fairness. How about that? In other words, a merit-based system. So here's what Robbie Starbuck wrote. Let's include that, shall we? Because, hey, he's the guy who's getting it done, right? He said, "Massive news. Walmart is ending their woke policies. I can now exclusively tell you what's changing and how it happened. Last week, I told executives at Walmart that I was doing a story on wokeness there. Instead, we had a productive conversation to find solutions. Below are the changes Walmart committed to. I have to give their executives major credit because this will send shockwaves through corporate America. This is the biggest win yet for our movement to end wokeness in corporate America. Here are the changes Walmart committed to. Surveys. Walmart will no longer participate in the HRC's woke Corporate Equity Index, or Equality Index. Products. Monitor the Walmart marketplace to identify and remove inappropriate sexual and or transgender products marketed to children. Funding of grants. Review all funding of Pride and other events to avoid funding inappropriate sexualized content targeting kids. Equity. We will not extend the Racial Equity Center, which was established in 2020 as a special five-year initiative. Supplier diversity. We will evaluate supplier diversity programs and ensure they do not provide preferential treatment and benefits to suppliers based on diversity. We don't have quotas, and we won't going forward. Financing eligibility will no longer be predicated on providing certain demographic data. Latinx. Walmart will no longer use the term in official communications. Thank God. Training. Walmart will discontinue racial equity training through its Racial Equity Institute. DEI. Walmart will discontinue the use of DEI as a term while ensuring a respectful and supportive environment. Our focus is on belonging for all associates and customers. Gee, sounds like fairness to me. And then Starbucks Roadies says, remember, Walmart is the number one employer in America with over 1.6 million employees, and they have a market cap of nearly $800 billion. This won't just have a massive effect for their employees who will have a neutral workplace without feeling that divisive issues are being injected, but it'll also extend to their many suppliers. Let me qualify that. Yeah, they're the largest employer in America outside of the U.S. government. All right, so then Robbie says, we've now changed policy at companies worth over $2 trillion with many millions of employees who have better workplace environments as a result. I'm happy to have secured these changes before Christmas when shoppers have very few large retail brands they can spend money with who aren't pushing woke policies. Companies like Amazon and Target should be very nervous that their top competitor dropped woke policies first. I think Target specifically will suffer serious sales problems as a result, and Walmart will benefit. Our campaigns are now so effective that we're getting the biggest companies on earth to change their policies without me even posting a story outlining their woke policies. Companies can clearly see that America wants normalcy back. The era of wokeness is dying right in front of our eyes. The landscape of corporate America is quickly shifting to sanity and neutrality. We are now the trend, not the anomaly. We are winning, and one by one, we'll bring sanity back to corporate America. Going into a four-day weekend, of course, and I want to leave you with some really funny stuff. We go to the Comedy Corner and Rex Havens.
Flew into Salt Lake City and drove down here. That on the highway, that's the most mysterious time for me. Trying to keep track of that world around you. How do you keep track of all those car names that are out there? Hundreds of different car names. How am I supposed to keep those all straight? Some cars don't have a name. All they've got is a number. That never made sense to me unless you're trying to get the biggest number. I'll give an example. Mazda's got a 2. They got a 3. They got a 5. They got a 6. Oldsmobile had an 88 and a 98. Chrysler's got a 200 and a 300. Mazda had a 323. Ford had a 500. Mazda had a 626 and a 929. Pontiac had a 1000. Audi's got a 3000, 4000, 5000. Pontiac had a 6000. Saab had a 9000. Nissan just said, to heck with it. Now they make an Infiniti. Top that. Chrysler Mitsubishi's little nuts. They got a Vision, an Eclipse, and a Mirage. A Vision, which is really something to look at. An Eclipse, that's something you shouldn't look at. Mirage, something you're not even really looking at. Is that your car? I think so, but I've been fooled before. I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that. They have cars named for the heart of the big city all the way on out to the sticks. For the inner city, Metro, a little further out. Suburban, further out still, town car. One that can't decide, town and country. Further out, they got the Villager. Beyond that, they got the Forester. Beyond the Forest, they got the Frontier. Beyond the Frontier, the Yukon, the Denali, the Tundra, and the Outback. And way the heck out there, Mercury and Saturn. Plymouth made a Reliant. I had one. They call it that because it made you reliant on public transportation, by golly. Can the cars do what their names sound like they can do? And if they can, I guess they can do a lot of different things. Get one that does what you need doing. If you're going someplace and there are no roads, get a Pathfinder or a Trailblazer. If nobody's ever been there before, you'll need a Discovery or an Explorer. If you're a little bit lonely, get yourself an Escort. Yeah. Or maybe an Amigo or a Sidekick. You know, shop around a little bit. Get the car based on the kind of trip you want to take. You want to take a short trip, get a Sprint. And a longer trip, a journey. A hopeful trip, get a Quest. A long, hard trip, an expedition or an excursion. And if you want to stay away for years, get an Odyssey. Get the car based on how you're feeling. You know what I'm saying? Your mood at the time. If you want to be daring, get a Venture or an Intrepid. If you want to be a gentleman, get a Gallant. If you want to go overseas, pick up a Passport. If you can't concentrate, get a Focus! Shut up! I got a Focus over here! If you have a large, protruding navel, get an Audi. You know, come on. If you like to stay in shape, get a Fit. If you've sort of let it slide, get an Avalanche. If you got a score to settle, get an Avenger. If your batteries are low, pick up a Charger. And if you're in a horrible marriage, you might think about an Escape.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the long weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time this weekend just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?